Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
All right, welcome back here. I say welcome back because it doesn't feel like we ever left, does it?
I think sometimes we just slept here, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it does feel like we just spent the night here in the studio and we woke up and we just flipped the microphone back on and here we are. No, actually, hello and welcome to the show. And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're also online at philhendryshow.com, where we have our live-streaming video cast of our show each and every single solitary night that we do a live radio show. You can see us online, and you can do that by getting a backstage pass. We have 4,500 hours of radio. We have full radio shows that go back almost 15 years, and our subscription is $9.95 a month. Now, that is not only competitive, that is a lower price than Sirius XM costs. And with all due respect to Sirius XM, other than Howard and maybe Opie and Anthony, there isn't anything to listen to on Sirius XM, and people that think that there is are fooling themselves. And you guys are paying $12.95 a month. So we got radio here that is 4,500 hours worth, over 15 years, and a daily show and a daily podcast, and we have our rants, and we have our comment section. And by the way, in our comment section, I spend a lot of time there. I spend a lot of time there because in many ways, our subscribers are like, a lot of them are like wounded children. They're like children that were left behind when the parents divorced, and they're hurt. They're hurt, and I want to... I need to spend some time. I'm kidding. But, you know, sometimes it gets a little weird. But I'm not talking about anybody that's in there right now. I just mean in the past. Welcome to our program, 877-876-7445. We're going to get Bobby Dooley on the line in a moment. Bobby is from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And will be talking with us at length about the Republican National Convention. Not just about the Republican National Convention, but about some of the coverage, which is a particular area of interest for us, and some of that coverage having to do with the reporters that they bring on. Now, I noticed, and this was pointed out to me by Bud, you saw it too, right?
Yeah, when I turned the TV on, they had Pierce Morgan, and he had a beer.
No, that doesn't make any difference without a beer, man, but it's on TV.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. He had a beer on TV.
So they're drinking beer on CNN.
Yeah.
Now, I was always told that, and being a broadcaster, I was always told you had to keep booze away from anything having to do with a federally licensed facility. Now, I know that a TV studio is far, far away from the actual transmitter and transmission equipment and the equipment that is used to transmit the signal of CNN. And CNN is a network, and so really what you're talking about, you're talking about the local stations. They're the ones that retransmit the signal. And as well, it's not exactly an airline. It's the Federal Communications Commission oversees broadcast entities. We're not talking about public safety, except for maybe the fact that some drunk broadcaster could get on there and say that there's incoming missiles from China or something like that, you know.
Yeah, that'd cause a panic.
Yeah, would a guy do that?
If a guy is hammered enough, but then there's some cats who are not hammered at all. Some guys that are stone cold sober might do that. So it's, you know, the whole rule about booze, they probably ought to rethink the booze rule. They probably ought to say, you know what, we've thought about it, and maybe it's better if you cats go in there after a couple of drinks, because it'll calm your ass down, and you won't be prone to get on there and start raving about crazy stuff. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, but you've been watching some of the coverage, Bobby. Have you seen this CNN pub?
Yeah, we did. We saw Steve looked at it for a few minutes, and then one of the boys walked in and said, "Mom, did you see Pierce Morgan? He's having drinks." And I went over. I said, "Well, he's not having drinks. He's having a beer." It looked like he had a pint of something there, and I was curious. Yeah,
it's like it's a pint of ale or something. It looks very much like a like the regular pint glasses you get in England.
I was going to say, Steve and I spent some time there a number of years ago when we went to, I think I talked to you about it, we went on a, we did a European tour. We went mostly to Germany and toured some of the concentration camps that they have there. And
yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and well, we started in England and we went to the pubs. And yeah, you can see those glasses are very evident.
Yeah, they're pint glasses. But In watching Piers Morgan there with his pint glass, and I also saw the little CNN insignia on it, and then I think they panned back and, or excuse me, they pulled back, and I saw three or four people. It looked like kind of a comfortable scene.
Well, I think, you know, it looks comfortable from the standpoint of, well, if I was sitting in a bar, or if I was in a pub in England, but what we're looking at is a television show, and what we're looking at is Piers Morgan, who has recently arrived here to the United States as a daily presence in our lives. He is not an American. He is British. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But we're looking at one of our national conventions, and we are looking at a Republican national convention. And I think Piers Morgan introducing to that setting, and I can only imagine how he might have, you know, made a little bit of a scene, Phil, with his producers or whoever the assignment people are, that, you know, he's Piers Morgan and he does the nightly talk show, and I'm sure he made some kind of a scene about wanting to be there, you know.
Well, if he had to make a scene at all, you know, he might have just been assigned that.
Something strikes me. I don't know. Steve, what were you going to say?
Yeah, he doesn't strike us the kind of guy. He don't strike us the kind of guy, you know.
Yeah, no, he doesn't strike us as the kind of guy that is. I don't know. He just strikes me as someone who probably has to stamp his feet and hold his breath. And because if you think about it, Phil, the people that run the assignments at CNN, just like at Fox, they want to go with the more traditional reporters, the people that have been there, done that.
I can't remember right now if Piers Morgan was on CNN when 2008 he wasn't, was he?
No, he wasn't. He came on, but very out of time when he came on the other side.
He came on after Larry King left, which was following the 2008. Because I remember Larry King, if you pardon me for saying, I remember Larry King very slavishly and very lavishly heaping the praise on Barack Obama, and of course we all remember, I think, rather vividly, whoever that was, Diane Sawyer, and that really disgraceful display that she put on, which is one of the reasons why this puts me off a little bit.
All right, if people don't know what Bobby's referring to, she's talking about Diane Sawyer.
Well, yeah, I just said it was Diane Sawyer.
No, I know, but I wanted to say, if you're talking about Diane Sawyer, was on the Good Morning America.
No, it was on the Today Show.
Yeah, it was on the Today Show.
No, she's ABC. It was Good Morning America.
Oh, was it? Is that right, Steve?
I thought it was Today Show.
No, it was Good Morning America. Diane Sawyer came on the morning of the inauguration, and she was very clearly blitzed. I mean, she looked hammered to me.
Yeah, she was drunk. There's no question about it. If it was ABC, they tried to soft pedal it. I think they said she was tired. But she was very Cleebly. I said Cleebly. What am I saying? No, I don't want to say Cleebly. She was very clearly. She was, I get those words confused.
What word were you confusing it with?
I was confused. I wanted to say clearly, and I was saying Cleebly.
What does Cleebly mean? When you say you're getting two words confused.
Cleebly is a word, I'm sure.
It's a word. I don't know what it means, but I was getting the two of them confused.
Okay, I just wonder what I've never heard the word Cleebly.
I was getting it confused with clearly. They're two distinct words.
Okay. You're
asking me about, I'm just telling you that Cleebly was the word that I was using.
And I didn't know what Cleebly meant. I didn't know it was a word.
Oh, you don't need a word.
You don't know what the word? You don't know that word, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't know that Cleebly is a word. What does it mean?
It's a word that is, it's oftentimes confused with clearly, is the best way I can describe it.
Okay, let's just keep on going with what we're saying.
Well, you're acting a little bit like, you know, Steve and I are both, you know, we had a brain injury or something and you don't want to press us.
No,
that's not it at all. I mean, I asked you what Cleebly means, and you're not telling me.
I don't know. Is that a good enough answer? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. If you want me to look it up in a dictionary, go look it up.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I didn't know it was a word. I'd like to know what it means, that's all.
All right, I don't know, Phil. I hope that's an answer that satisfies you. I don't know. I do know it's a word.
All right. I didn't mean to anger you.
No, I'm not angry at all, Phil. I'm not angry at all. I just don't know what it means.
But we do know it's a word.
Gleebly's a word. I know that.
All right. So getting back here to this Diane Sawyer episode where she was drunk, she was on TV.
Yeah, Diane Sawyer was very clearly inebriated, Phil, and so that worries me given what's happening tonight on CNN in that pub. We've already been treated to the liberal reporter not really showing much in the way of decorum. I don't like the idea of Piers Morgan plying American reporters in a very American setting, which is the Republican National Convention, plying everyone with this stout or this ale or what have you that he and his countrymen drink. That's not what we do here. And I'm really disappointed that CNN is tolerating it.
All right, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us here. Our number is 877-876-7445. They're talking about some of the ale drinking that's going on CNN in the midst of the Republican convention, apparently instigated by Piers Morgan. He's been feeding drinks to the reporters that are there. We'll be back with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. Talk more about that. They were also referencing Diane Sawyer being drunk the morning of the inauguration on TV. 877-876-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP and join us there, and we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, look Phil Henry Cleveland. Show. Look Cleveland.
I wanted you to hear this. This is pretty funny. Steve Dooley.
All right, we're back. Hold on, Bobby.
Hold on.
We're back with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley here. Our number 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley about the CNN's coverage of this Republican convention, the pub, and the fact that they're serving alcohol.
To me, is the most egregious thing, Phil. But really, what I wanted to get to was the fact that while he is serving this out, can I have Steve do one thing though? Steve, do what you did when you read the news about the TRN lawsuit.
Unreal.
Is that cute? Do it again.
Unreal.
Can you? Do you want to record that, or maybe use it on the show? I shouldn't ask you.
What is he saying?
He's saying unreal. Do it again, Steve.
Unreal.
What we were thinking is you could record that, Phil, and you could run that. You know, when you read a news story that is really weird, or I don't know if you've ever heard a lot of the hosts will do that, you know?
Yeah, they use what's called a drop.
I'm sorry, what is it called?
It's called a drop. They're called drops. You'll drop in a sound effect. You'll drop in a, you know, a word.
Well, no, this isn't a sound effect. It's Steve. Do it again, Steve.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, I gotta write it again.
Write it down so you can see it. You got it?
Unreal!
So you could record that, you know?
And he did that in relation to what?
In relation to a lawsuit. I don't know if you heard about this. The TRN?
I heard about TRN filing a lawsuit. Yeah, they're filing a lawsuit against Dial Global claiming a monopoly. And Dial Global has responded, and that's all I know about that.
Well, Steve, when you read that, you went, what? You do it. This is what Steve did. He goes, what?
Okay. You want me to do it?
Yeah, do it.
I went, unreal.
When he read it, he goes, unreal. I go, what, honey? He goes, do it how you did it, Steve.
Okay, I want to get back to what we're talking about, all right?
Yeah, but just do it how you did it, son.
Yeah, yesterday it was announced, okay, hold on. I'm a little bit nervous. Yesterday it was announced, Talk Radio Network, they did a lawsuit, a lawsuit. And yeah, blah, 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 blah. They provided outstanding service, blah, 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 blah. We're confident we'll defeat the claims, blah, 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 blah. Unreal!
Isn't that cute? So you could do that. But Phil, why don't you read it? And
look, I want to keep going with the topic at hand.
No, I understand that. I do too, Phil, but I just wanted to see how it would sound with you reading it, you know?
yeah, you know what, Bobby? At some point, maybe what I can do is I can read it, you know, as we get toward the bottom of the hour. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, David.
Yes, David.
Look, why don't you go ahead and, Mr. Williams, David Hall, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good, David.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do what the lady's asking, because,
Because what?
Because I'd like you to do what the lady's asking, that's all. Because she's a potential customer of ours, she's a potential client.
Thank you, David, very much.
Just do what she's asking.
Is that right? Well, you know what, David, you don't come on my show and tell me what to do. You understand that, don't you?
All right, I'm sorry, I was just suggesting, you know...
You don't come on here and tell me what to do. You understand that?
Yes, I do understand that.
Okay, then don't be on here, and I'm only taking your call as a courtesy, because I told Bud the next time he says to me, David's on the line, I'm going to not take the call.
Is it necessary for you to embarrass me like this?
No, it's not, but it wasn't necessary for you to call.
You never told me not to call. If I knew you were going to embarrass me... All right,
I'll do it.
No, don't do me any favors, you know.
No, I'll do it. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry I talked to you like that, David. That was wrong of me.
I mean, all I'm trying to do is facilitate, you know, communication here.
David, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do it, David.
You know, I mean, I don't want to interfere with your show.
I'll do it.
All right,
Ms. Dool, you want me to read the story here about TRN, and then Steve is going to do...
Would be cute. Just let's hear how it works out.
Do I have to read the whole thing?
Just read the last couple of lines.
Mr. Masters, the complaint was filed by a law firm, legal counsel. The complaint is frivolous. We're confident we'll defeat these spurious claims, assuming they are ever heard in a court of law.
Unreal!
Isn't that cute? That would be funny. That would be funny if you did that. And then you punched a button or whatever you do. I guess you punch a button. Do you punch a button or what do you do?
We use the a computer mouse or punch a button.
That would be funny.
Yeah, but Senator, do it, you know?
Okay, fine. David, I'm...
You know, you were very rude to him.
I understand I was rude to him. I'm sorry, and I just read it, so can we move on, okay?
Unreal!
Okay, anyway, I'm sorry, Phil. So what happened with Piers Morgan was this. He's on TV on the CNN.
Unreal. Oh, shoot.
You got to clear your throat before you... He's on TV...
Hold on. Is Steve going to do that throughout your entire spiel?
No, he's not. Clear your throat. And even if he does, so what?
It's distracting.
So what? He's my husband. He came on the program. He has a right to speak.
All right, so Piers Morgan...
Piers Morgan tonight is on his program, and he is drinking ale, and he has on these reporters. Now, one of them is a young lady from the Los Angeles Times. I forget her name, but she's in a short skirt. She's wearing heels. She has her hair done. She's got a low-cut blouse, and she's the national reporter for the LA Times. She is really playing it to the hilt. And it becomes extremely evident to me that what she's doing is she is auditioning. Now, here she's a print reporter, and she's auditioning for the big news contributor job. Go.
Unreal!
Here is a woman. Okay, Phil?
Yes, I hear. And speaking of auditioning for the big news contributor job, you know...
What, you think I am?
With the whole unreal...
No, Phil, it's to accentuate the point. Do you understand the point that I'm making, that these reporters are so, they are so lacking in something to do, working for a newspaper, which no one reads anymore, that this girl was on TV in a loose blouse, in a short skirt, with her legs, with her knees open at least. Go.
Unreal!
With her knees open...
Do I really have to listen to that?
Phil, I think it's become evident by now that I do want to include it in what I'm saying. Yes. You don't have to. You can hang up on me like you do so many people. But I'm sort of hoping against hope you don't.
Continue.
Well, now I hear the bumper music, so I can't. Hey, Steve, it's bumper music.
What?
Do it.
Unreal!
Okay.
We're going to be right back here with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we continue talking about whatever it is she's talking about. She's talking about print reporters now on TV auditioning for TV jobs because their newspapers are going out of business. 877-877, so what's wrong with that? I guess we'll get to that point, too. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Unreal!
Oh, man.
Phil Hendry.
I think it's cute.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And I did. Yes, I did.
Bobby Dooley with us here and Steve Dooley on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the Republican convention this evening and the coverage of the Republican convention. Now, you're talking, Bobby, about seeing on TV Pierce Morgan with this pub. And then you got into a discussion here of the young lady who works for the L.A. Times, a reporter for the L.A. Times, and she was in a very short skirt and a very low-cut blouse. And the point you're making is these people are auditioning, correct?
Absolutely, Phil. I think it is. I'm really embarrassed for them. I think they look a little ridiculous. You can see them as they are being, you know, very animate for the camera, and they're trying to show that they're, you know, not nervous, and they can be they gesticulate with their hands. And this girl was doing all of that, and you almost are beginning to believe that she is sort of passable as a TV correspondent. I don't know what's wrong with her career at the L.A. Times. I don't know if it's something that is, you know, is on the tail end over there. I don't know if she's, you know, 35 going on 50, if you know what I mean. I don't know what is going on there. But she did look a little, excuse me for saying this, she looked a little road hard and put up wet. That's
a little strong, isn't it?
I don't think it is, Phil, when you're talking about a reporter that has been out on the road a little too long. You're a reporter that has been on that international beat a little too long. You've seen a little too much of hotel rooms. You've seen a little too much of press conferences and the insides of banquet halls and the insides of press briefing rooms. And there have been one too many press secretaries and press attachés with the wink, wink, and the nudge, nudge, if you really want the story, well then, dot, dot, dot. You know, I think we've all been there.
Well, you've never been a reporter, Bobby. I mean, I can understand what you're saying.
I've never been a reporter. I haven't been a reporter in the formal sense, but I have covered events. I told you that I was at Ronald Reagan's, when they were transporting Ronald Reagan's coffin in the hearse, to the Point Mugu Air Station. I climbed over two Secret Service vehicles to get comments from Nancy Reagan. So you tell me that isn't a reporter.
And well, who are you reporting for? What was the...
It doesn't make any difference. I climbed over the hoods of two Secret Service... Do you understand?
You understand what my wife did, Mr. Henry? She went over to the hood of the Secret Service. You know?
Yeah, no, go ahead and do the thing, Steve. It's almost like what?
Yeah, it's almost unreal. Just don't like to do that.
Yeah. So, I wasn't working for any specific news agency, Phil, but I went after the quote. I said, there's Nancy Reagan, and I'm going to get a comment from her, and I don't care what it's going to take. And I got a comment from her. And someone said to me, she's an old lady. I said, you know what? We're all getting old. So don't start with me on that. I said, get out of my way, or you'll be gotten out of the way. And, you know, that was one person that got out of my way.
Who were you talking to?
I don't know. It was one of the Point Mugu security people. But I just said, you're going to get out. What did I say, Steve? I said, get out of my way, or out of the way you will get. Something like that?
Yeah, get out of my way. Bobby said, get out of my way. Or your way, or my way, you will not be in the way of, you know? And I go, unreal!
He did. He was standing there, and you said that.
Oh, yeah, I go, unreal! You know?
Okay, I've had about enough, Steve, of the unreal, if you don't mind.
Well, it's just,
just a comment, that's all.
He doesn't mean anything by it, Phil.
All right, so you got that comment, and you've been a reporter. Now, getting back to this lady...
Oh, I got that comment. I got a reporter. You know, it would be nice if you didn't dismiss it as easily, Phil.
Yeah, all right, so getting back to the lady on TV... She is gesticulating, and she's auditioning for a job on CNN, and she's having beers with Piers Morgan. And she works for the LA Times. My question, so what?
So what?
Yeah, so what?
Well, here's so what. She's in her little short skirt. She's in her little low-cut blouse. She turned to her right. She turned again. She's turning to her right, so it's our... So we're looking at... the left side of her face. And she smiled and she was nodding as if to say to one of the other panelists, aren't I on a roll? And I'm really, you know, I made some good points and aren't I on a roll? And as she smiled, very evident there in the left side of her teeth was an enormous space. It wasn't between the front teeth, it was the side teeth, like the molar, Steve?
Yeah, it was like the molar. And the teeth that are next to the front teeth, and then you see in the molar, and a big gap.
Yeah, she had a big gaping gap in those teeth. And Steve, well, you don't want him to do it. Don't do it, honey. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, I can imagine, Steve, you sat there and you went, unreal.
Well, if you get to do it, go ahead, do it.
Unreal. That's what I did.
Good, good. You did that, and you and Bobby, I guess, concurred that it was unattractive?
Well, Phil, listen to what I'm saying. Good God almighty. You know, Jesus died on the cross, okay, and people got it a lot easier than you're getting what I'm saying here.
I don't know why you brought that up.
Well, what I'm bringing up is I'm basically showing you a man nailed to a cross, and you're going, huh? I don't get it.
Yeah, unreal, Mr. Henry, unreal.
Shut up with unreal, okay?
God. Did you just go...
Yes, I did. I just told your husband to shut up. Now, what are you trying to say? The woman is unattractive.
Yes, I'm saying she is not telegenic. I'm saying that she's working real hard. She went out and got her little short skirt. I don't know where she bought it. Maybe at Clothes Time or TJ Maxx or something. Or maybe, you know, Navy, at the Navy Plus store or something like that. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can get some cute things.
Yeah, maybe she went to Target.
Maybe she went to Target. That's fine. You can get some cute things there. I'm not saying that you can't. And she went out and she got her, you know, her super cut little hair flip. And that's fine. And she goes on TV and she's working real hard so that Piers Morgan will bring her back as a frequent contributor. And meanwhile, she makes the biggest mistake she could possibly make. She turns to her right, and she goes, I'm laughing because it was just, you know, I remember I was laughing because I was thinking, oh, God, go ahead, honey, do it. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going unreal because she smiled, Mr. Anderson, turned her right, and this big space between her teeth.
This big, wide, gaping gap in her teeth. And it was unreal, and it was unsightly. And it was ugly, if you want me to use that word. It was very ugly.
All right. I'd like to bring a reporter on. She's a frequent contributor to our show. She is a reporter, Margaret Gray. She's going to come on and comment.
Oh, God.
Unreal, Mr.
No, don't say unreal. You're joking, right?
Don't say unreal.
Why do you have to bring her?
I'm bringing on a real reporter, Ms. Dooley. You said that you are not a reporter. You know, and that you had crawled over the...
I crawled over the hoods of two Secret Service Secret Service SUVs, yes.
Would you be a secret van?
No, it's a sports utility van. God.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be funny.
Yeah, don't be funny, Steve. Don't try to be funny, please, okay? Margaret Gray is going to join us, who is an experienced reporter and has been in the middle of quite a few of these events from time to time, joining us on our newsmaker line here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, Phil. I can tell by the tone of your voice, Ms. Gray, that you may be dismissive of me, but I can assure you that my observations, I think, are valid. Let me be the judge of that. I heard you say that you saw this young lady from the LA Times. I don't know her name. I wish I did know what her name was.
I don't know, Dan, if you're close to a computer, and maybe if you looked up Piers Morgan CNN and caught the name of the L.A. Times reporter. I hate to put you through that, pal, but until we get to a break, I won't be able to do it. So I'll have Dan's going to do that.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate that. But I didn't see the young lady. But I'll go with what you said, Bobby, that she is mid-30s and maybe looks a little rough around the edges. You know, it can get to you, the life of a reporter. It doesn't surprise me that she went out and tried to get a makeover of some kind and looks her best, and God bless her for doing that. The comment that you made about a big gaping space between her teeth, I thought was unnecessary.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was unnecessary, and I'll tell you why. Well, why do you think it's unnecessary? I thought it was unnecessary because here is a woman that is working very hard and is trying to engage the audience on the level of being interesting and compelling. And you are using a physical flaw as something that is so glaring that it will absolutely wipe out anything that she's saying. Now, I know they're Republicans, and I don't have a lot of love for Republicans, nor do I have a lot of respect for their intellectual ability. However, oh, my God, that is really insulting. Are you Republican? Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel. That is really that is far more insulting than anything I've said. I don't think it is at all. I think that what you've said is very insulting. The woman's space between her teeth. Now, Ms. Dooley, I've been to your home. I was at one of your summertaculars. I was reporting on it for the Daily Breeze. I got a good long look at you. I got a good long look, okay, at how you look in your tight pants. I saw your augmented breasts, and I saw what very clearly to me is not a very toned rear end or bottom or buns, but you've got some real sag there. And I mean it is, as we say in the business, sloppy. You are absolutely unbelievable. I have not commented on you personally at all.
Yes, toilet sloppy?
I didn't use the term toilet sloppy, but yes. You are saying that I have a rear end that's toilet sloppy. And I think that you are a pig and a swine and a slut.
Okay, get Margaret back up on the line, Bobby. I don't think she hung up. Margaret, you there?
Yes, I am here, and I'll tell you something. I'm not going to go back on the air with her.
No, that's okay. She hung up. She hung up.
Well, good thing that she did, calling me a slut. Now,
what is toilet sloppy?
Toilet sloppy is when a woman's rear end appears to be a firm, round, and, you know, a very high, if you will. A lot of our African-American girlfriends will say she has a high rear end. But toilet sloppy is when it appears to be, and then you take a closer look, and you recognize that if she were, excuse me, Phil, for saying this, I know that it's not very pleasant.
No, it's not.
Well, you asked.
Go ahead.
When she sits on a toilet, it will slop over. I'm sorry, that's...
Oh, God.
Well, you know something, Phil? I only brought it up because this woman was on your show talking about some gaping wide gap in a woman's teeth. And I am telling you now, and I'm telling everyone out there, that Bobby Dooley's rear end is toilet sloppy. And if your husband was here with me, Bobby, I would welcome him saying, unreal. There. You happy?
All right. Childish? Yes. Unnecessary? Yes. Vulgar? Yes. Crude? Yes. All of the things that you could well imagine could be said about a completely unacceptable segment? Yes. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to have Margaret Gray back on to comment further on the Republican National Convention, but I will tell you this, I won't have an outburst like that again. 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhenryshow.com, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I understand Mr. Dooley wants to. Go ahead, sir.
Unreal! That's all.
Truth.
Go ahead, Dan.
Is our bitch. The Unreal. Phil Henry Show.
Shut him up.
Just shut up, Mr. Dooley.
Unreal. Unreal.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com, our website and our internet home, as well as our Twitter feeds. You know, we're like all over the place over there on the World Wide Web. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry, R-E-A-L-P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E. We're also over on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendryfans, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, fans, P-H-A-N-S. And, of course, you can get a backstage pass, but you're going to have to climb over top of all of the people that don't like me that still buy subscriptions. Can you believe that? I got these guys sneaking onto my site. These guys, they don't like me, and they, because I don't allow them to hang out with me. There's certain people you cannot hang out with me. Certain people are not allowed to. They're really just not a part of the inner circle, you know. But they sneak onto the site and give me their money anyway in the hopes that we will befriend them. And it's not going to happen. We always leave them standing out in the yard. In the words of Lil Wayne, I'm in the house, you're in the front yard. That's kind of how that goes. You've heard that, right, Margaret?
I have heard that. I think the line goes, bitch, I'm in the house, you're in the front yard. That's the little Wayne line, right?
Yeah, that's it. All right, anyway, Margaret Gray has rejoined us on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Your thoughts now on the Republican convention in general.
My first thoughts here in watching Paul Ryan's speech are the looks on the faces of the people that are responding to his speech. If you watch either Senator Paul, this is, I believe, Rand Paul, who is the son of Ron Paul or Tom Paul, I forget the name.
Ron Paul.
And you see the looks, especially on the faces of the women, responding to Ron Paul and Paul Ryan. Now, granted that Paul Ryan and Ron Paul are what Republican women consider to be the creme de la creme, if you will, of manhood. I'm not criticizing. All right.
Well, you're not criticizing what? Let's be clear.
I'm not criticizing the looks of these men or anything like that.
Okay. So what are you criticizing?
Well, what I'm criticizing, obviously, is the awkwardness of these men and the sort of the geekish. If you look at this Rand Paul and you look at this Paul Ryan, they both have that sort of geekish or dorkish look. The women in the crowd, and the only African-American that I have seen in this crowd tonight, and because, once again, Republicans are hard-pressed to show the face of minority America, the only African-American that I see in the crowd tonight has a very distinct overbite. His teeth are, and I'm quoting, using the colloquial buck, they are buck teeth, which is a little rough to use that term when you're talking about an African-American, but nonetheless, it's embarrassing, and I don't think it is well represented. So,
what's the point of that? So far, you've knocked the looks of these people.
Well, what I'm trying to do, Phil, is give you an idea as to what it is Republican women are responding to here.
The black individual that you saw in the crowd, is that the only black person?
Yeah, it's an African American man, a black man, and he has buck teeth. Now, I just saw another man who is black. He wears a leather vest. And he has turned to the side looking at someone, not looking at the podium. So that man looks as if he might have had an injury to the head because he's not even looking at the podium where the man is that's speaking. So the Republicans are doing their very best, I think, to make the black Republican look silly. And
well, if you think about that, why would they do that?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Why would the Republicans do that? Why would they take black Republican delegates and try to make them look silly? Don't you think they try to make them look as good as they can?
No, I think it's an instinct on the part of the What am I saying? I said on the part of the Republicans. What am I? I'm trying to say.
On the part of?
On the part of, yes. On the part, I think it's an instinct on the part of, yes. Republicans, that's a little bit knee-jerk. I know that it's destructive, it's self-defeating.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. First of all, the camera shots that are being selected here are from a pool camera, are they not?
No, not necessarily, because right now CNN is showing Ron Rim Paul. And is that his name, Rim?
His name is Rand Paul, Margaret. I'm beginning to get the sense that you're having a little sport yourself here.
No, I am not, Phil.
Well, his name is Rand Paul, and that's his name, and I don't think it should be repeated more than once. Why would you think that they are selecting these shots to make them look bad when I don't even know that these shots are being selected by anybody in the Republican Party? I think they're pool shots being selected by an independent producer.
I can assure you the Republican Party is selecting these shots. I can assure you. You don't allow a television network to cover your convention without you calling some of the shots. And showing a buck-toothed black man and then a female who's also buck-toothed. And I think the man who had the leather vest had the buck look. I think it's very...
All right, hold on. We'll be right back.
I'm sorry?
Hold on.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, and back we are with Margaret Gray, and we are talking about the Republican convention, Ms. Gray, and what you have observed so far just watching this. And we're talking about more or less the audience response, the response of the delegates, the response of the people in the crowd to the speeches that are being given. Now, so far, what speeches have you watched?
Phil, we've seen Paul Ryan. We have seen this man, Paul. I know you think that I am messing with his name, Phil. I honestly don't remember it.
You're a reporter. You can write those things down, though, can't you? Can't you put down on a piece of paper or something the name of the man so that you're not forgetting it?
Yes, Phil, I can do that, but I'm on the phone right now, and I didn't know that I was doing something that I had to take notes on, that's all.
Well, I don't mean to raise my voice, but obviously you do, because you need to remember the name of the man.
Look, Phil, the person who I always thought was the important one to remember in this particular party was Ron Paul. And this Rand Paul is a whole new species of animal, if you'll forgive me. I don't really know what extra he brings to the table. I don't really know how much different from his own father he is. In other words, I don't know if he's just grabbing hold of Daddy's coattails and trying to ride that too. He's not saying anything different. He isn't anything different. And to that end, I don't know why I should have to remember his name.
Because he gave a speech here at the convention.
Well, all right, he gave a speech. But he's really not what I wanted to focus on. I wanted to focus more, Phil, on the speakers and the people in the audience tonight, the people in the crowd. The delegates. I don't think that there are a group of people on this earth right now that are making bigger fools of themselves than these Republican delegates.
Why?
Well, right now I'm looking at them dancing to some music I suppose is being piped over a PA there in the auditorium, wherever it is. I think, number one, you have to take into consideration, where is this convention being held? Well, it's being held in Tampa, Florida. Now, that's very telling. That is probably more telling than I think the Republican Party knows. Tampa is a large city. It's not the biggest American city. But it is, I suppose you could say, an American city on the rise. But it is also known as a pretty rednecky kind of city, shall we say. It's a very sort of country music and, honky-tonk kind of a town. And so I don't think that gives the Republicans the sort of urban feel that they are going to want to have when they show black delegates with the buck teeth and they're, we have that problem.
All right, this is you keep bringing up the buck teeth on the black delegates. Are you saying, in other words, that whatever black people the Republican Party is trying to appeal to, they are a rural African-American constituency?
I would say yes. I would say that it's a rural constituency, black and white. And if Republicans are going to get voters at all, I think they feel they'll be successful in that rural setting. Now, you also have on the floor of the convention right now these people clapping and dancing, and one of them is elderly, and you can well imagine what old people look like when they try to do modern dancing. It is a little excruciating. It's a little embarrassing. It's also a tad sad to see the younger people, quote, boogieing, end of quote, when you are so lily white and so bleached that, you know, you just want to walk up to them and say, okay, enough. Give it up. Everyone sees you. So to that end, I think there's a bit of desperation. Thirdly, when these men were speaking, and let me underline the word men, because I didn't see any women keynoting. Thank you very much.
Well, that's just dead wrong, Margaret, because I saw a number of women that were keynoting.
Yahoo.
Yahoo? I mean, give me a break. Mitt Romney's wife, Ann, was keynoting. The governor of the state of New Mexico was keynoting, a woman.
All right, let's take that one at a time, if you don't mind. And here we go. I'm looking at CNN right now, and the screen is showing two white men with the pork pie hats. Well, what does that say? That says, hi, we're white, but we're hip-hop. Well, Phil, there's not too much of that. It's either House of Pain, it's either Linkin Park, maybe. It's Eminem. I can tell you, Phil, that line ends. That line is drawn at the door of the Republican National Convention. Let's see. So where were we? We were talking about...
You're talking about the females that are hip-hop, or that are, excuse me, hip-hopping. The women that were keynoting.
Yes. So, Mitt, you're talking about who?
I said the governor of the state of New Mexico, Mitt Romney's wife, Ann.
All right. Right away, you can rule out Ann Romney because she's a wife. That is a little bit like Elizabeth Dole and all of the wives. They're just the assistant people. I don't count them as significant players in the Republican or in the political scene. Give me a woman that's done something, please. Now,
all right, the governor of the state of New Mexico.
And her name is?
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Ah! I'm sorry, I don't remember. That is still one thing you can feel better about.
I don't remember her name. I could probably take a stab at it. I'm sorry. That is my failing. That's not the failing of the Republican Party. You can't put that on them.
Well, yes, I can.
Why?
Because I don't think she was memorable. I don't think anything she said could have been memorable enough for you to remember the name. Now, let's just take this slowly.
Well, that's not true.
Well, hold on. Let's take this slowly. I said to you, was there a female? You said, yes, the governor of the state of New Mexico. And I said, what's her name? And you said, I don't remember. And I said, ah! Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
All right. What was I really saying? I was saying the Republicans didn't put anyone up there worth remembering. She might as well have been one of those terribly dull people that they put up on the podium at these conventions. They're generally the chair people, or they work for the Rules Committee, and they generally are, Mr. Chairman, you know. You've heard the kind, right? So I think that's who you probably thought you were looking at.
No, I knew that I was... No, wrong. I knew I was looking at a significant person. I knew that it was the governor. As a matter of fact, many times I saw her name. And I can't remember her name now. I just... Ann, I believe, was her first name.
Ann, no, you're talking about Ann Romney.
I think this other lady's name was Ann.
Yeah, you think it was Ann because Ann's drilled into your head now. It's stamped in your brain. Every Republican woman's got to be an Ann. So you see, Phil, the point that I'm trying to make here is the Republicans haven't done anything here other, and excuse me for saying this, the Republicans have done nothing on this convention floor tonight than put on a giant circle jerk. Okay?
I didn't hear that.
Well, I'm whispering it for a reason.
Ms. Dooley, people can turn their... I've told you this a million times.
All right, you want me to say it out loud? Circle jerk. There, are you happy?
I think that's a really childish, stupid-ass description. What are you saying? Are you saying...
Well, you know what I'm saying. I said it's a giant CJ. It's a circle jerk. I told you. Bill, I don't want to say it loudly.
Are you saying, therefore, that they are playing to themselves... And it doesn't matter that there's a national audience. Are you saying that they're preaching to the choir to the extent that they're excluding everybody out there in TV land? What are you saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. They're playing to themselves. It is a bunch of women who absolutely look horrifying as they stand there going, ah! You should see the looks on these women's faces as they applaud Paul Ryan, as they applaud this Paul man. Or as they applaud this poll man, as they applaud these people, they flash to the women, the faces on these women, and they are positively, they are horrific looking with these faces that are, So I really believe these are things that need to be taken into consideration. And I'm, enough of a lady, Phil, not to use the word out loud. It's a circle jerk. And I'm sorry, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I disagree, and I don't think you even understand what a political convention is for. I think that those of us that are sitting on the outside looking in at these things, I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking to see the tenor and the personality, the style. We don't necessarily want to be brought to the interior of this thing and made to feel at home. We want to see a family of people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, celebrating the America that they believe in, and then we say, is that something that I'm a part of? Does that seem familiar to me? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. If not, I move on. But no, I do not think that Democratic or Republican conventions are put on so that we're all welcomed in as guests in their house. They may say that. I don't think that's the effect. We'll be right back here with Margaret Gray, your phone calls, and others here as we continue talking about the Republican National Convention, the speakers, and the reaction of the delegates tonight here. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Margaret Gray on the line with us here as we talk about the Republican National Convention and your reaction to the delegates out there, the especially the black delegates saying that they have buck teeth. They all look rural. It sounds rather comedic.
Well, Phil, I don't intend it. If you want to talk to someone about the comedic intent of this convention, I would suggest you talk to these Republicans. I don't know what they're going for, what they're shooting for. And for that young, for that Bobby Dooley to make fun of the reporter because she had a gap in the side of her teeth, when this Dooley is clearly a woman who needs some kind of reinforcement or some kind of implant in her posterior, is I think it's just absolutely childish.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Estelle. Estelle, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Estelle, I'm in Palm Springs, California, and
yes.
I watched the convention tonight, the Republican convention, and I think that she is absolutely ridiculous. I can't hardly stand to leave your program on the air. The way she's describing them, all of those people were very well-groomed and very well-dressed and very well-behaved. And I think that she's just ridiculous. I can't hardly stand to listen
have
to
you
her.
If you say you've been looking at the television, dear, you've seen the reactions of the people.
I saw the reaction of
animalistic.
The people. I saw the reaction of the people.
Animalistic.
They gave standing ovations to Condoleezza Rice, who is a black woman. And she spoke very, very intelligently. And she was well-dressed and well-groomed. And I saw all the rest of them. And you
Why are the black people in that crowd with buck teeth?
You should be ashamed of yourself talking like that about anybody on this earth, no matter what
they
look like.
Well, they should not act that way. They shouldn't act that way on television.
I would
like
to
be very beautiful.
You look like, lady. You
must
be some horrible human being.
I am beautiful. All right?
Oh,
if you want to know the
truth. You've got a lousy brain in your head for seeing the things that you thought
you saw. Are you kidding? You couldn't possibly be looking at the same convention I'm looking at. I'm looking at women who look like they are calling for the blood of a gladiator. That's what they look like.
You are so ignorant. It's pitiful. I can't hardly.
What are you referring to specifically, Margaret?
During Paul Ryan's speech, there were three or four women that jumped to their feet as if they wanted to see one gladiator drive a sword into the throat of another.
What does that look like? Of your mind, woman. They all received all of those people very well. They gave them standing ovations with a
applause. Of course they did. Yes, I know they did. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is there was bloodlust.
See what you think of the Democratic convention when they come on. And what about the Occupy?
Listen to you. You are absolutely what I'm talking about. You're exactly what I'm talking about. Listen to you. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're all, That's what you sound like.
You are the most low-grade human being I've ever heard on the Phil Henry Show, and I listen to you.
Because I don't agree with you. Because I don't agree with your view, I am low-grade. Well, I'll take that criticism. But when I saw that woman jump to her feet as if she wanted to see the heart ripped from the chest.
That was just your wild, dirty, rotten imagination. That's all it was.
Are you kidding? You didn't see the buck teeth on that one, brother?
No, I did not. And I saw every view that they showed of every black person. And they were very well groomed.
I think the Republican Party must have had some kind of weird glasses on or something.
That's what you had. But I need to go now. I can't argue.
You know what I'm wearing? You're the one that's wearing the big Disneyland glasses, not me.
All right. Yes. Thank you very much, Estelle, for your call. And get back to watching. I think probably we all should get back to watching a little more carefully the convention. Dorian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
There's five reasons why I wouldn't vote for this man, this Republican Romney. This man is under a federal investigation about the lying about working at that company. His pimp, the millionaire, who's under two federal investigations. What party was in charge of this country on September 11th, 2001? What party voted to send black kids to school hungry this year?
Exactly.
And the man is hiding his taxes. Will you please tell me what kind of character does this man hold? He does not deserve to sit in the White House.
This is a very good series of points that the man's making, Phil.
Well, I, as to the investigation of Governor Romney with regard to I think you're right. I think that there have to be much clearer answers. And here's what I would say. I would expect the same answers from the Republicans that they would demand of a Democratic candidate if the shoe were on the other foot. I don't really get the whole thing about 9/11. That was even the Democratic President Bill Clinton would say this was a threat ongoing for many years.
Well, I agree with the caller. I think that that Mitt Romney needs to be investigated by a federal grand jury. And what time do you have to run for president of the United States when you need to open your books and let people see what's going on? Now, I'd like to ask Dorian, have you been watching this convention tonight, sir?
No, I didn't have the time to watch it, but I'll tell you one thing.
Well,
there's five good reasons.
You're not missing anything.
Vote Republican. I will not vote.
Yeah, you're not missing
a
thing. You're not missing a thing. And to the extent that there are African Americans in that delegate count, and that was a little shocking to see them. And I said something joking. I said they all have buck teeth, and the woman got upset with me. So
I still don't get the buck teeth crack, but nonetheless, thank you very much, Dorian, for your call, sir.
Okay, thank you.
877.
What do you think of the buck teeth?
Never mind. 877-876. Thank you, sir. 877-876-7445. So that man is saying that the Republican Party was in power at 9/11. He said that Romney is under investigation for being a for not being entirely candid concerning his status with that particular company that he left when he went to run the Olympics. And there was one other point he made.
Well, I know what it was. He said that the guy, there was a pimp or something that ran his life.
No, he didn't say a pimp that ran his life. There was something having to do with his leaving that job. And, you know, they're all very good questions.
You said you didn't agree with the 9/11 comment.
Well, that's not really... I'm not going to blame President Bush for that. I never have and I never will. And my authority on that is President Clinton. President Clinton, who never, ever, ever, when the subject comes up, never hangs that around the Republican administration, because he knew difficulty of trapping that guy and pinning that guy down and getting something done about that. Margaret Gray has been with us here, and we're talking Republican National Convention. We're going to continue with some of the some of the news of the day, as well as the Republican National Convention. We've got that hurricane that has been parked, and now it's a tropical storm.
Well, that is good news, Phil.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's a tropical storm. It is, though, parked over the city of New Orleans. And even a tropical storm, if it's only going 5 miles an hour and it's at 50 miles an hour in wind speed, it's a son of a gun to deal with. There's no question about it. You're just like sitting there in the middle of this 50-mile-an-hour blast for the entire day, and the rain's falling. So maybe not at the rate that it falls in a hurricane, but it still is putting pressure on the infrastructure that you have to protect your city from that kind of thing. So we'll get back to talking about that as well. Don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And we have a new podcast, episode 36. It is Chris Norton, as he talks about, being able to talk guys out of shooting him when they find him in bed with their wives. That's part of our podcast, episode 36. Download the living hell out of it now at philhenryshow.com. Go to the new podcast link on our website and download it and be happy. Be happy maybe for the first time in your life. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, God.
Phil Henry.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, and online worldwide at philhenryshow.com. Become a Backstage Pass member. Become a member of our BSP family. We have people everywhere, man. We've got people everywhere. I don't even want to tell you where they are for fear that you may uncover them, and then we will be compromised in our... in some of the espionage that we are doing, but we do have people everywhere. They could be under your desk. I'm just kidding around, of course.
Yeah, I was getting nervous for a minute there.
Don't get nervous. As our good friend Billy Batts would say, don't get nervous, huh? Gonna break up my potty. Anyway, go to philhenryshow.com and enjoy for yourself a backstage pass. It's a beautiful thing, and I think you'll be glad that you did. You got access to all of that marvelous animation, all of that marvelous audio archive. We actually do have some webisodes that are animated. We got a lot of stuff there, man. Just head on over and have yourself a good time at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-7445. I got Don Berman on the line here from Channel 19 News. And Don, you've got our evening news quiz, huh?
Yes, I do, and a very good evening to you, and good evening to Bud and to Robert, and we do have a news quiz.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Berman.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Berman?
Well, I'm very good, boys, and I've got a news quiz for Mr. Henry tonight, and this is from our researchers and some of our people doing their background checks there at at Channel 19. I keep wanting to call it Don Berman's Nightly Report because I have been campaigning for that, and I think finally Mr. Morelli, as you know, Phil, is the manager of our television station here, Channel 19. Mr. Morelli, I have been petitioning him, and I'm going to ask Kerry, if he comes over for the, I don't want him anywhere near me. Do you understand me?
Yeah, don't, please, no more espresso machine, okay?
No, I understand, Phil. We've been very clear about that. And I have to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know if he is going to adhere to that or not, because I've asked until I'm blue in the face. Tell him now, okay? Yeah, just go over and tell him now.
You used to call him Mr. Martin. At one point, you called him Mr. Martini.
I found out that his actual name is Morelli, and I'll tell you why. Don Morelli, he's a longtime television executive. Here he comes now. I can't believe this. Hi, how you doing, Don? Hey, how you doing? And let me, quick. Yeah, look at that. Beautiful.
That's very nice.
I got some friends. Hey, whatever. I'm on the radio. I'm on the Phil Henry Show. I'm on the Phil Henry Show. Well, say it again. I can't hear. I said, Mr. Morelli, I'm on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking on the air. I'm on the Phil Henry. Can't hear you. I can't. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good.
I said I'm on the Phil Henry Show.
And I can't hear you.
I can't. Please turn that off. I'm on the Phil Henry Show.
Wait, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Don't talk about that. Here, let me.
Hey, Phil.
This Mr. Morelli?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to say, I like a lot of Don, and he's going to do a news quiz tonight with you, right?
He's going to do what?
I said Don's going to do a news quiz tonight with you, right?
Yes, he's going to do the news quiz.
All right, that's good. All right. Let's get one more. Yeah, one more. Don't get nervous. You've got to advertise. Don't get nervous. Yeah, look at that, huh? You like that? Hey, Gino, what do you want, Gino?
Yeah, that's pretty good for me. I don't care. I don't need a lot of foam.
What is that?
I don't need a lot of foam.
You don't need a lot of foam. Let's do another one here. I'm sorry. Just one more. Don't worry.
Huh? For God's sake!
Don't worry about it. Gino. Hey, Gino.
Yeah? I'm making a coffee over here for you. What are you doing? I'm making a coffee. I'm making you a coffee is what I'm telling you. What are you doing? Huh?
Mr. Morelli, I'm on the air right now. I'm sorry. All right. I'm done. Okay. All right, I'm done. Okay, Phil.
I'm done. Hey, Gino. I'm making a coffee. You gonna walk over there? You gonna walk over here? What are you gonna do?
I'm over here.
You gonna get a coffee over there? You gonna get it here?
I'll get it over there.
Then you gotta come over here to get the coffee.
I'm sorry. Jesus.
How do you work in an environment like that?
I don't know. I've got him this close, though, to renaming the evening news the Don Berman Report. It has been a lifelong dream of mine. It has been a lifelong dream of mine ever since I saw Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. I never saw them. I'm not as old as you, Phil. Were you able to hear that? I'm not as old as you?
Yeah, we could hear it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. But I used to see the old YouTube clips of the Huntley-Brinkley Report.
The Huntley-Brinkley Report, yeah, very famous, very big news report in the evening.
Right, and I always wanted to have the Don Berman Report, and we're this close.
So you think if you put up with this guy's bullcrap...
I think, yes. If I put up with his bullcrap long enough, he will finally see his way clear.
You know what, Don? I'm not going to tell you, you know, you're right or you're wrong. I will just say my experience is people that take advantage of other people like that, they never stop, and they never come through with what they promise they're going to do.
Well, I thank you very much for that opinion, Phil, and I will not take it under advisement. I will reject it. Thank you for giving it to me, but I will reject it as coming from someone that doesn't know anything of what he speaks. I'm very angry.
What, did I make you angry?
Yeah, you did, as a matter of fact, with that. So I'm just going to reject what you said because I don't think you know your ass. Okay? Thank you, though.
Why did that make you angry?
Because it's something that obviously pees all over a dream of mine.
Don, look.
Was that your point of getting me on your program tonight? To urinate on a dream of mine? Was that your point?
No, and don't be so dramatic. No, it wasn't. I was reacting to this guy, this Mr. Morelli.
That was your... I know what Morelli did. I know. He had the espresso machine. It was too loud. I understand that.
Okay. And then you're saying to me I'm this close to getting the Don Berman report.
Yes, then why didn't you leave it at that? Why couldn't you leave it at that? Oh, okay, Don. Congratulations.
Because that's not what I do on this show, all right?
Oh, what you do. What you do. You know, people that tell me, you know what I do, here's what I do. I do Europe. I do Mexico.
That's what you sound like when you say that.
All right, Don, I apologize, man. I apologize. It's none of my business. It's a dream of yours. You're right. I shouldn't have begun to poke holes in it. It's my big mouth. I've got a big mouth. I've got a radio show.
Well, I understand you do a talk show, Phil, but I didn't ask you for your opinion. All I wanted to tell you was I almost have it named the Don Berman Report, so it's worth it to me to put up with this guy and his espresso machine and all of his greaseball friends, okay? There, I said it.
But and he's not listening to the show right now?
I don't know if he is. If he is, he is. If he isn't, he isn't. I don't know.
All right, so, because if he heard that comment...
It doesn't make any difference to me. What even runs things around here?
The way you've been making it sound the last time I've had you on the air, it's him.
Why would you think that?
Because every time he comes over to your desk, he's got the espresso machine on, and you can't even get him to shut it off.
Oh, take it easy. All right, where were we? Oh, tonight's news quiz, right?
Yes, tonight's news quiz. And tonight's news quiz being brought to you from the newsroom of... Actually, you're not in the newsroom tonight, are you, Don? You're in your car.
Exactly. I'm in my car on the freeway, so let me give the little news quiz sounder. Can you hear that? I just put that on my keychain. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Phil?
No, I did not.
Let me try it again. It's time now for the news quiz. Anyway, the news quiz on the Phil Henry Show here with me, Don Berman. What year, Phil, did the Republican Party hold its very first convention? And I don't have the music. You want me to just do it with my mouth?
Do it with your mouth.
Look, Phil, don't try to make everything into a filthy, filthy joke. I'm talking about humming the...
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to... Go ahead.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, your answer.
Wait.
What's your answer?
Wait a minute. What is that? That music you just did?
I told you I was going to do it with my mouth.
No, I know that, but it lasted 5 seconds.
That's the Jeopardy music.
No, it's not. Jeopardy goes longer than that.
Could you ask him not to... I don't even want to have him. I don't want to know he's alive, okay? That's the mood I'm in tonight.
Bud, just be quiet.
Okay.
Now, what's your problem?
My problem is the Jeopardy music, that wasn't it.
Really? What's the Jeopardy music?
The Jeopardy music is longer.
Well, how do I know that?
Here's the Jeopardy music. It's,
Wait, I know it. Here.
Shut up, man. You ain't even doing it right.
Good Lord Almighty. Is that music? Or did someone drive a rail spike through one of his hands? God Almighty.
What are you talking about? Mr. Henry's right. You ain't even doing it.
What did I tell you about him? Did I tell you something about him?
Yeah, shut up, bud. Okay? Just be quiet.
Not doing it right.
Hold on, okay? Look, the Jeopardy music, as I remember it, is much longer than that, man. If you're going to give me a chance to answer a question, you got to give me the real... The Jeopardy... So now I'm hearing...
Now, hold on, here he is again. Hey, what's up? I'm still on the air. Oh, he's still on the radio with the guy, huh? Yes, I am. Hold on. Hey, Gino, it's just got the same problem I had the last time that I had the first time. If you're going to be over there, you can't come here to get the coffee, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, then what are you doing standing over there when I got a coffee over here, okay? I got, like, juggling 5 different cups over here. Yeah, here's one for Mary. Who's this for?
It's for Paul.
All right, this is for Paul. That one's for Mary. This one for you. Here, you take that one.
Wait, spill it now.
Hey, man, I know what I'm spilling, okay? I got a napkin. Everything's under control. I'm sorry. Very, very sorry, Don. Hold on for a minute. Not a problem.
All right, are you going to be done soon?
Hold on. Let me just get one more. That's all I gotta get, one more. Hey, where are you going? I thought you wanted me to go stand over here. I never said for you to stand over there. I said to stand over here. Let her take the coffee to the people. I tell you something. Can I help you with something, Mr. Marley?
That's very kind of you, Don. No. You do the news. You do the news good. You know, I see the news every night. What you do?
Very, very good. Very, very good. I love that everything you do.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Gino. Hey, yo, Gino. Come on. Come here. Give me a hand.
All right, he's gone. Now, what were we saying?
Would you mind? I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
You're talking about being...
Shut up, bud. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Would you mind just asking me the question again and doing that? The Jeopardy music is longer.
I did the Jeopardy music, as my understanding. All right, I tell you what. Let that guy, Bud Dittman, do it. Go ahead. Let Dickman do it.
Do you mind?
No, no. Go ahead.
Bud, you do the Jeopardy music. After he asks me the question, then you do it, okay?
Yeah.
Get your headphones on?
Yeah.
All right. Phil, for our first question here on our Newsmaker quiz, when was the very first Republican National Convention? All right, Bud, do the music.
Do 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 do.
Okay, that...
Oh, what, you got another problem or something?
What's your problem? It's the second time we've done it.
Oh, all of a sudden now you're on Don's side, huh? That wasn't the Jeopardy music.
No, man, I don't think it was either.
You, why don't you do it?
Wait a minute.
All right, we're not going to have everybody in the house doing the Jeopardy music. Don't you think I know what Jeopardy music is?
No, I do not, because that's not what you did, and it's not what he just did.
Then why don't you do it?
How can I do it when I'm trying to answer the question?
Just as an example, give us an example. Tell us what it sounds like.
Here it is.
You gotta take a break.
All right, we gotta take a break. Wait, don't take the break yet. Do 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 boom boom.
What? Are you out of your mind?
That was as gay can be.
Is that? That's what it is.
No, man. It actually is longer than that. It's longer than that. That's what he said.
Hold on, everybody. Just hold on and shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Hang on, Don. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
with
is
the continuation
our bitch,
of this thing here.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I know it goes like that.
No, it doesn't sound anything like.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, next hour is our news and information hour. And what else? What else? What else? A lot of news to report. And we'll give you some background on the Milwaukee Lions begin a fresh season on Monday, Labor Day, as the league, the Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference, goes into action for a brand new, its inaugural season, its very first season. The Lions, who formerly played in AFL 2, have moved over to the PHHFC, and they open up against the New York Pets at Duckworth Memorial. Now, oops. Did we just do an entire segment on mute? I just want to know, was our audio muted for an entire segment? You don't think so? Okay. I guess I'll hear about it from my folks. If we just muted an entire segment, I apologize, guys. 877-876-7445. Don Berman. Don, was it muted?
What muted?
The video cast.
I don't watch the video cast. I'm sorry. I don't, I'm busy. And to pay a subscription to your website means that I am your fan, and you know, Phil, I admire you greatly. You know that. But for me to actually pay you money means that I'm no better than, I don't know how to say this.
You're no better than regular people, huh?
No, I didn't say that. And see, that I knew that I shouldn't even have brought this up. What I'm trying to say is that I should, by all rights, have free access to your website because I'm your friend and because I, like you, am a celebrity. I think I'm a celebrity. I think you're sort of a quasi-celebrity.
Well, okay. Whatever I am, I'm sorry, but giving you a free pass to my website just doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now. However, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Oh, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well,
all right, let's talk about it. Can I just get through this segment? Can we just do this quiz?
All right. Well, when I last left you, we were trying to figure out how long the Jeopardy music was.
It goes like this. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
No. Dun 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 dun. Why am I doing it like this? Why don't we just find the recording?
No. We said we'd do it with our mouths. Now do it.
We do it with our mouths. God.
That is so stupid sounding. Sounds like we're having a fun lip festival or something.
What did he say?
He said it sounds like we're having a lip festival.
Oh, so you're calling me a little Mary Jane. Is that what you're calling me? Huh? Little Miss Mary, is that what you're calling me?
Well.
So, a lip festival.
I don't even know what a lip festival is.
Well, let me tell you, it's not good. And
Hold on. Don't we have a recording of that somewhere?
I can look for it.
You can look for it. It goes like this. Doon 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 doon. Hold on, bud, I'm not done yet.
Yay!
Hold on, I'm not done yet. And then it goes doon na 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 na. What the hell is that?
That's the music. You asked me to get it.
Hold on, what is that? We said we'd be doing it with our mouths. What is that?
That's not our mouth.
Is that someone humming it?
No, it's the recording. Is that someone humming it? That's the song.
All right, hold on. Let's listen to it. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Oh, God, is this boring. God, this is boring.
Yeah, it is pretty boring.
What are we supposed to use, man?
Well, I didn't know it went on forever. God, that just drags on and on and on. God! I mean, isn't there something else we can use besides... Oh, here we go again. God, you love this guy? Yeah, that's great. Uh-huh. That's just sir. Hey, how you doing, huh? Hey, listen to the program. It sounds real good. Sounds real good.
Ask me the question. We'll use that music.
But I can't hear you. Gino, if I gotta say it again, I'm gonna come over there and so help me God, Gino, I'm gonna stab you. I'm gonna stab you if I gotta say it again. Here, take it. I'm sorry. All right, I'll ask the question again and then you guys fire off that music, okay? If that's gonna help, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
You the other two guys?
Yeah, that's all right, Mr. Berman.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
All right, here we go. In what year did the Republican Party... Now, we're talking about the Republican Party, and what year did the Republican... What is he doing? What are you doing? That is the music now? What is he doing?
Will you turn it off, bud?
What?
Turn it off, you idiot. He didn't even ask the question yet, okay?
God almighty, Henry, how do you survive each day with idiots like that? It's unbelievable.
I thought you asked it.
No, you thought I... Well, I hadn't asked it. Are you ready?
Yes.
If I hear bumper music, I swear I'm going to open up a vein right here and right now.
It's bumper music.
All right, I said I'd do it.
What's he doing?
I'm opening up a vein, that's what I'm doing.
I'm sorry that we ran out of time.
Oh, no, it's okay. Hey, what are you doing? You want to know what I'm doing? I'll tell you, Morelli, I'm killing myself, all right? Look, can I step over here? Yeah. Hey, Gino, need a... That's all right, Phil, I'm going to slash my wrist, and he's just standing over me getting coffee.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm here.
I'm sorry. I was actually off camera. If the people are, you know, looking at the video cast, it's got all kinds of stuff happening here. One of our cameras locked up. It was camera one. And since I do everything here, the only thing I don't do and what I probably should do is also work the affiliates to try to get more affiliates for the show. but anyway, so I was off of camera there looking at our number one Camerico. And it looks like it's going to be a long, long, bloody night tonight.
But you busted a tripod.
No, I didn't bust anything, man. You can reset that up. This is a very interesting camera. It is a Canon, and it's one of our video cameras. We use it as our number one camera, which is basically a side shot of the broadcast console. But every now and again, for whatever reason, it just locks up. It stops what it's supposed to be doing, which is basically capturing as a camera the particular shot that it has. It ceases to function, but I can't turn it off. There is a power light. You probably can see there the green light that cannot be turned off for love or money. And generally what I have to do is wait for it to just power itself all the way down, and then it reboots, and then it's fine. So there you go.
A whole lot of information people didn't need.
It was a whole lot of information people didn't need, but you know, if you're interested in some of the behind the scenes, there was some of the behind the scenes. I had stuff I wanted to tell people about having to do with things beyond the convention, and I said, oh, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to tell people about it during the news and information hour, but now I've completely spaced on what the hell it is. So that wasn't very, very smart. I think it's probably stuff having to do with our ongoing efforts here on the Phil Hendry Show website and broadcast service, having to do with our podcasts and our archives and just stuff that we have happening. If you don't yet have a backstage pass, we encourage you to get one and join the family. Be a part of our BSP family. Well, all of the show logs, by the way, are done through January 2001. For those of you who are interested, we continue to work on those. We have this enormous website. We're very proud of it. We have a huge archive. We take very seriously the art of radio. And the proof of that is the archive that we do have. And so there you go. You can pay a whole lot of money and not get anything, which is what a lot of people do when they subscribe to radio websites. Or you can pay the price that we have, which is like $9.95 for the month, and then it's cheaper for 6 months, etc., and get like more stuff than you could possibly ever, any real person could ever need.
What about the people? We get mail from people. They go, yeah, I'm all done with the archives. What else?
I have to be very, very honest when I say this. I also have to be careful, but I have to be honest. People that have plowed through the entire archive on our website and are complaining that they need more to listen to are professional complainers. They are not real people. Do you understand what I mean? You know what a professional complainer is? It's just somebody who wants to complain and bitch and moan. That's all.
You don't think people listen to all the archive?
I think it's possible that people have listened to all of our archives. There's no question about that. But a normal human being who's listened to all that we have to offer in our archives is going to go back to some of their favorite stuff. They may go back to a favorite bit. They may listen to the newer things. They may, you know, experience the video cast again somehow. They find other things because we've always got something new happening on our website, and that's just a fact. If you are have listened to the entire archive and you don't want to listen to any more of it, and you're hoping for, it's just a complainer. And those people, you know, I got nothing to say to. You know, you want to just go over to SiriusXM's website and bitch to them about the garbage that they offer. Bitch to them about the lack of content over on their entire network. As I said, with the exception of a couple of shows, O&A, Howard, that's about it, man. The rest of it is crap. And the people that pay the monthly subscription fee for that dung are people who have talked themselves into thinking it's a fantastic buy. No, I really like it. It's really good. It's really, yeah, sure. Sure, it's worth it. No, I get all of this audio and I get, what do you get, man? You get an audio off of a TV, you get the audio off of what is essentially a TV broadcast? And what else? You're getting the NASCAR races? I mean, dude, you can hear that stuff for free and get a far better and more in-depth broadcast someplace else. I remember when I was traveling through the South by car, you know, one of my favorite things in the world is just get in a car and drive. You know, I read somewhere where Anthony Hopkins, the actor, this was a People magazine article on Anthony Hopkins. You'd never guess how he relaxes.
Would you like to drive?
Why did I say you'd never guess when I was just talking about it? Yes, that's what he likes to do.
Yeah, he likes to drive like 10,000 miles. What? That's what he does.
He does. He says that I think like a 2-week vacation, he will get into a car and drive 10,000 miles. That's what he did 10 years ago. Now he's, you know, a little bit more advanced in years. But Anthony Hopkins lives in America and enjoys this country and likes to drive places. So he gets in a car and he just drives. And his agent one night got a call from him. He was sitting in a motel in Texas someplace, just really digging it, you know. So I kind of understand that thinking. People, a lot of times, you ever get people say to you, you want me to drive? You want me to drive? You want me to drive? And
yeah, they always say that. That's because driving's fun.
Yeah, because driving is relaxing for a lot of people. And I think people will say, do you want me to drive? They're probably saying essentially, you know, I don't mind driving because it relaxes me and maybe it stresses you out. I like to drive. It does relax me. I'm at my calmest and I'm at my most serene, believe it or not, when I'm driving, even though I've had moments where I wanted to pull a gun and shoot people in other cars.
Yay!
Thank you. I'm kidding. Seriously, I'm kidding. We've all had those moments, I'm sure. So I like driving, and one of the things that I noticed as I was driving through the Southeast, going from point A to point B on my way probably down to Miami, or places like that, the NASCAR broadcasting, they got more stock car races on the radio on the weekend. It's just, it's an amazing thing. I can listen all over the LA radio dial and not hear one damn race, not one auto race, for an entire weekend anywhere, even if it was one local. Even if they had one out here at Ontario or one of the big road race tracks that we used to have, forget it, man. But in the southeastern states, where NASCAR particularly is a big, big sport, and of course it's a great television sport, it's a great national TV sport for Fox, it's very popular, and it's big on radio.
Yes, that don't feature. What do you mean on radio?
Yeah. What do you mean, what do I mean on radio?
Well, I mean, how anybody going to... How's that fun to listen to on a radio?
What, road racing? You mean automobile racing?
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to say that makes it so cool?
Well, when you listen to a radio call of a road race, it's pretty, the guys that are good at it, it's pretty exciting. It really is.
Yeah, what's he saying?
Well, they're telling you, essentially what they have are like five or six guys at each turn. They'll have a guy or two reporters at each turn. So what the camera is showing you, obviously, a radio call, you need people. And hearing the voices of these reporters handing it off to each other can be quite an exhilarating thing. Because what's happening is you've got the straightaway, that is that part of the track that passes the finish line, the start-finish line. That's where the main press box is. So that guy is calling that part of the race. When it hits turn one, then he'll hand it off to the guy in turn one. And the guy in turn one will tell you who's in first, who's in second, who's in third. And he says he hands it off to the guy in turn three. So really what's happening is everything you see on television is being recreated by way of voice on radio.
And you say that's exciting?
Yeah, it actually, you guys got to listen to it and you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's kind of like back in the old days, people used to listen to prize fights.
Yeah, well, that part I understand, being on a prize fight and everything.
Yeah, I saw that one time on a cartoon.
Yeah, they go, yeah, and he's in the ring And then another thing he's doing, he just...
Okay, bud, fine. I get it, okay? I know what you mean. Yeah, prize fighting is cool on radio, too, although we don't hear that at all anymore. And, you know, that'd be something to bring back. I swear to God, man, in whatever forum, you know, if it's internet radio, if it is whatever audio form and whatever delivery system... Whether you are just grabbing it out of the air and pulling it in on your phone, because I got to tell you something, folks. You know, so much of what I have been doing in the last 6 months and so much of what I'm going to be doing in the next 12 months is going to have everything to do with that little square thing that you hold in your hand and I hold in my hand, that little rectangle shaped thing every day called our phone, but it's also our smartphone. That means it has the internet on it, and it is basically our own little personal computer. And my career, my area of professional expertise, broadcasting, that is the delivery of audio comedy, audio content, is going to have everything to do with this little thing in my hand, which is not what you guys are going to make a joke out of.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say your penis.
Shut up.
Ow!
You knew you were going to get smacked for that.
You said penis. Ow! Don't give me that hard.
Yes, I do. You, too. Knock it off.
Well, man, you walked right into that.
Yeah, you all you did was tee it up, man. We just hit it off the tee.
Uh-huh.
It was funny.
All I did was tee it up. It'll have everything to do with this little thing in my hand.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll say it.
I'm talking about my phone.
Next year, man, everything you do, gonna have everything to do with that little tiny thing. Yeah.
You guys done?
Yeah.
The phone. And all kinds of audio can be delivered on this thing. So when I say sporting events like auto races or even a prize fight, things can be recreated. And to that end, let me just give you a... well, I'll tell you after the break. We have some news about the Milwaukee Lions, who begin their season exclusively on the Phil Hendry Show website. They start their season on Monday, Labor Day, at home against the New York Pets. We'll have more details as we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our news and information hour and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Anyway, I was mentioning off air, and then I mentioned on air that we had a camera just go kaput. We'll fix it. But I'm trying to figure out how to get the battery unplugged in that thing.
Man, you don't look too good. Yeah, you look bad.
I know I do. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me tonight, man. I got this. I've had this. Maybe I've got leprosy or something. You see, I've got like a mark here and a mark here on my face.
Did you want to fight or something?
No, I wasn't in a fight. I don't know what was the. What the problem was, but, and I'm also sweating like a, you know what, like a racehorse, or is the term peeing like a racehorse?
I think it's peeing like a racehorse.
And, well, then I'm sweating like, so I'm sweating like a, I'm sweating.
Yeah, I sweat like Phil Hendry.
I'm sweating like Phil Hendry. And, that's just kind of part and parcel of doing our radio show in the summertime. But this camera, this is the second time that this camera... All right, I'm not going to belabor the point. I'll just have to buy a new camera because that thing is... hey, Canon, your camera, it blows. We're going to have to wait for that thing to power down and I can't get the battery out of it. Wait a minute. I think I just figured out the battery. Is this it? No, that ain't it. Anyway, get the battery out of it and power it down. On Monday, we begin with a regular season of games. The Milwaukee Lions begin. Game time is at 1 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. on the West Coast. And those games, the audio on Wang Radio carried on Phil TV in HD, which is, of course, our little video cast that we have right here. But it's only the audio. It's only the radio version of that game. And that starts on Monday. And you can eventually, you can listen to that on demand. And you can listen to all of the audio on our website, folks, on your smartphone. I listen to our on-demand audio all the time. I listen to audio from our archives. I listen to audio from our character clips. I listen to audio of our podcasts. I listen to these from our site. And I also listen to, like, the Lion Games. So on demand, you can listen. The live stuff, that's a whole other ball game, and that is what is going to be solved here very shortly, probably within about a week, because we're testing right now with another company our ability to deliver to your Apple product, whether it be an iPad or an iPhone, our media. And it's been a long time in the coming. As I said during the pre-show, we've been talking with a company that really was looking for a $250,000 to $300,000 a year account, and we just said to them, we're not that big of a company. You know, we're not the National Football League. And so that's fine, Kaltura. You go ahead and good luck to you, and I hope you live to be old and prosperous. But we're like a lot of people these days, man. We're entrepreneurs, and we're doing our thing, and we have found a company that is going to handle that for us. So we're testing it this week, which is something that we do, and we're going to rock and roll. What we use for our streaming, our video streaming, we use Akamai. It's probably the best at this kind of video streaming, and we have one of, if not the single best picture of all radio shows that use video casting, then we've got, it's right up there with the top three, because I haven't seen anybody do a video cast that looks as good as ours in terms of video quality, and we video cast in high definition. So you get a whole hell of a lot, man, over here at the old Phil Henry Homestead. Why not join up today?
All right, old man.
Good. So what was going on tonight? America can't afford another Obama White House, said John McCain in remarks of the Republican National Convention 4 years after he accepted the presidential nomination himself. John McCain railed against President Obama for his foreign policy record, lamenting what he cast as a demand for leadership in America and calling on voters to elect Romney the next leader of the free world. The Arizona senator, now when we talk about the free world, what are we talking about now?
We're talking about like, what do you mean?
Well, when we talk about the free world, what are we talking about? Because the communist world used to be, we used to talk about the free world, meaning the free world as opposed to the world of communists. Now what are we talking about?
Well, it's about, like, free as opposed to, like, being under Iran.
Okay, so we're talking about the dictatorships that remain, whatever they may be, right?
Yeah, man, I mean, I don't know, don't you know?
Well, no, I mean, I just want to know what the definitions are. If you're talking about being the leader of the free world, then you're saying that, essentially, there's another world. And that world, because not every country is free, he's already making the distinction. So what is the other world? What represents the other world?
Iran, that's what I say.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Iran, that's a good place to start. Iran, what else? Syria?
Yeah.
And Egypt, or...
Well, I thought Egypt was going to be democracy, or not democracy, but...
A democracy?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Maybe there's some countries in Africa that still have military dictatorships. Maybe there are some countries in South America. I don't know. I'm not up on my South American politics. It seems things cleaned up down there pretty fast. You know, we still have a challenge in Mexico there. Who's going to win ultimately? I think the people and the government will win. I don't think the drug lords. There's no way that the world will long stand for drug lords running countries. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We don't go in that direction. The human race has already proven that we don't go in that direction. We go the opposite way. We go toward a little more clean living, you know? Not that people don't like to smoke weed. I'm, you know, but when it comes to people dying by the bushload or by the bushel or the bushloads or the...
Busload.
By the busload or a bushload in a busload, we ain't into that. So the drug lords of this world are not long for this world, although it will take somebody standing up and shooting them and killing them, fighting them. And, you know, that's where you always have the debate, you know. Drug lords are not long for this world. Okay, shall we go to war? Well, I mean, us, you know. What about everybody else? Okay, but I mean, we seem to be closest. You know, we're in America, they're down there. I don't know. Well, I don't know, the Mexicans want us down there. Okay. Well, if they were to call, what do you think? So anyway... Having said that, what is the non-free world? Now, the only reason why I'm asking this question is, can we be clear right away, and this is what I would like out of a president. I don't know if this is being unrealistic, but I would like this. If we say that we lead the free world, well, then I don't want to have any dealings with the non-free world other than in saying to them, here's how it's going to be, man. Otherwise, we don't do business with you. In other words, I don't want to have any more of these backstairs deals with these Banana Republic slobs, you know?
Like that Noriega guy?
Yeah, like Noriega, like all of those guys. No more of that. You understand there, Senator McCain? And you too, Mitt, because I know how it is in the world of business. One hand washes the other, and we got to do business with guys that are dirty. I get that. But do we have to have diplomatic relations with these swine? All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Who is this guy standing next to Pam Bondi, the Florida Attorney General? He looks weird. What's up with him? What is that guy?
Phil Henry.
She's standing there and she's giving a speech. And he's... All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as I continue messing with my camera here. Here's an interesting article that I thought that I would lay on you. Thank you, Bud, for finding this.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting because it got stuff about Ryan's a liar. You know, hey, man, it doesn't say he's a liar.
It's not saying he's a liar. Well, it's not saying he's a liar. It's saying he got stuff wrong. Ow, I hit my own eye with the newspaper that I was swiping at you.
That's what you get.
Yeah. Fact check is what it is. Closer look at words spoken by Paul Ryan and others at the Republican National Convention. And I was reading through a few of them. Here is one that I think is interesting because I remember this part of the speech. I think probably a lot of people do. Ryan, this is Paul Ryan, and then here are the facts as fact-checked by, I believe it's the New York Daily News. And when I say the New York Daily News, let me be even more specific in the words of Mr. Woltz, just to show I'm not a hard-hearted man. This is the New York Daily News and the Associated Press combining with their years and years of experience to fact-check Paul Ryan's speech tonight at the Republican Convention. Okay. Now, here was one of the excerpts from the congressman's speech. Congressman Ryan said that Obama misled people in Ryan's hometown of Janesville, Wisconsin, by making them think a General Motors plant there, threatened with closure, could be saved. A lot of guys I went to high school with worked at that GM plant, right there at that plant. Candidate Obama said, I believe that if our government is there to support you, this plant will be here for another 100 years. That's what he said in 2008. Well, as it turned out, that plant didn't last another year. So said Paul Ryan. Now the facts, according to the Daily News. The plant halted production in December of 2008, weeks before Obama took office, and well before he enacted more robust auto industry bailouts that rescued GM and Chrysler and allowed the majority of their plants, though not the Janesville facility, to stay in operation. Ryan himself voted for an auto bailout under President George W. Bush that was designed to help GM, but he was a vocal critic of the one pushed through by Obama that has been widely credited with revitalizing both GM and Chrysler. But I think the point here is that when President Obama made that speech, the plant eventually halted its production before Obama was even president. This was a speech that the president made when he was still campaigning. And so that plant closing its doors in December of 2008, Obama took office in January of 2009. It's not really, well, it's not true. You can't lay that at the feet of Obama. Ryan, quote, Obama credited a bipartisan debt commission. They came back with an urgent report. He thanked them, sent them on their way, and then did exactly nothing. This is according to Ryan. Obama created a bipartisan debt commission. They came back with an urgent report. He thanked them, sent them on their way, and then did exactly nothing. The fact is, it's true that Obama hasn't heeded his commission's recommendations, but Ryan's not the best one to complain. He was a member of the commission and voted against its final report. So were he president, let's say, Ryan, God forbid anything happened to President Romney, he would not have voted for a report that he helped author. So what's that about? Chris Christie, in his speech, he said, quote, Mitt Romney will tell us the hard truths we need to hear to end the torrent of debt that is compromising our future and burying our economy. Tonight, our duty is to tell the American people the truth. Our problems are big and the solutions will not be painless. We all must share in the sacrifice. Any leader that tells us differently is simply not telling the truth. The facts are that Romney has made a core promise to cut $500 billion per year from the federal budget by 2016 to bring spending below 20% of the U.S. economy and to balance it entirely by 2020. His campaign manifesto, however, is almost completely devoid of the hard truths that Christie promises. In fact, Romney is promising to reverse $716 billion in Medicare savings achieved by Obama over the coming decade, and promises big increases in military spending as well, along with ending tax cuts for everyone, including the wealthiest. But he doesn't have any hard truths in there? Well, that's not a very good fact check there, Daily News. While you say that he's made a lot of statements, the few specifics Romney offers include repealing Obama's health care law, cutting federal payroll, weaning Amtrak from subsidies, cutting foreign aid, and cutting the Medicare health care program for the poor and the disabled. but it'll take a lot more than those steps for Romney to keep his vague promises, which are unrealistic. If he's willing to touch Medicare and Social Security for the coming decade, if he's unwilling to touch Social Security and Medicare for the coming decade, even the controversial budget plan of his vice presidential nominee, Representative Paul Ryan, largely endorsed by Romney, leaves Medicare virtually untouched over the next 10 years. What is left for Romney to cut is benefit programs other than Medicare and Social Security, which include food stamps, welfare, farm subsidies, and retirement benefits for federal workers. The remaining pot of money includes the day-to-day budgets of domestic agencies, which have already borne cuts under last year's budget deal. See, the problem here, folks, is nobody wants to touch Social Security, which is the big, big entitlement that needs to be cut if any of this stuff is going to happen. Otherwise, forget it. Just forget it. Both Romney and Obama. And if you want to make an argument, Obama's already been 4 years on the job of trying to get this crap done without touching Social Security, which everybody uses as the political football, even Republicans. Even the so-called small government Republicans, they don't want to go near Social Security because that's a big government idea that they think is pretty good. Well, that's fine, and they can, you know, they can dig it, but here's the problem. Nothing's going to get cut. No budget deficit's going to be brought under control. Nothing.
Yeah, what about my grandmother's going to be on it, too?
Yeah, and my aunt. I know. You're absolutely right. You know, if you want my honest opinion, I think Social Security should be used only for the elderly that need it. I think if there are people who are of the senior years who are able to support themselves through their own retirement plans, through their own savings, through their own work, I don't see, even though they've invested in it, yes, I understand. Or you make it voluntary, but that's the only way you're going to be able to make this thing happen, man, because you want Social Security to take care of people who need to be taken care of. And those are elderly people. But if there are seniors who have money, you know, that have a retirement plan that is working for them, then you certainly might realistically say to them, you know, you give up your Social Security. But you have the argument, and it's a good argument. I put into that program all my working life. What the hell are you telling me? Somebody else was yapping away at the Republican convention. Portman, who is that?
I think he's like a senator.
A senator? Okay, he said, take trade with China. Now, this is Guy Portman, and he was bitching about Obama. He said, take trade with China. China manipulates its currency, giving it an unfair trade advantage. So why doesn't the president do something about it? I'll tell you one reason. President Obama could not run up his record trillion-dollar deficits if the Chinese didn't buy our bonds to finance them. Folks, we are as beholden to China for bonds as we are to the Middle East for oil. This will end under Mitt Romney. Now, the facts, as articulated by the Daily News. Portman is an expert on commerce, having served as President George W. Bush's trade representative from May of 2005 to May of 2006. But he didn't fare particularly well in stemming China's trade advantage. Under Portman's watch, the U.S. trade deficit with China soared by 25% in 2005, and the next year it climbed more than 15%. By contrast, the deficit rose 10% over the first 3 years of Obama's presidency, according to U.S. government figures. Both the Bush and Obama administrations have launched unfair trade cases against China at the World Trade Organization, but neither has been able to rebalance the relationship. Santorum was up there, former Senator Rick Santorum. This summer, Obama showed us once again he believes in government handouts and dependency by waiving the work requirement for welfare. Now I helped write the welfare reform bill. We made it a lot crystal clear. No president can waive the work requirement. But as with his refusal to enforce our immigration laws, President Obama rules like he is above the law. The facts are, the administration did not waive the work requirement. Instead, it invited governors to apply on behalf of their states for waivers of administrative requirements in the 1996 law. Some states have complained those rules tie up caseworkers who could be helping clients directly. In a July 18th letter to congressional leaders, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said that to be eligible for a waiver, governors must commit that their plans will move at least 20% more people from welfare to work. Moreover, states must show clear progress toward the goal within a year or lose the waiver. We will not accept any changes that undercut employment-focused welfare reforms that were signed into law 15 years ago. Ron Haskins, a former senior Republican House aide who helped write the welfare-to-work law, has said there is merit to the administration's proposal, and I don't see how you can get to the conclusion that the waiver provision undermines welfare reform and it eliminates the work requirement. Haskins, who is now co-director of the Brookings Center on Children and Families, says the administration was wrong to roll out its proposal without first getting Republicans to sign off on it, but he said the idea itself is one both parties should be able to agree on were it not for the bitter political divisions that rule Washington. So what we're hearing here is a guy pissed off because Obama didn't get the Republicans to sign off on it. Is it a plan that, you know, has Obama done what Santorum says he did? No. No, he did not. It's hard for people to accept that your own political party that you think is just so marvelous would engage in the very things that you think the other guy engages in, which is the coloring of facts to suit you, the out-and-out lying sometimes, misinforming, disinforming. But that's precisely what happens. That's why these, and you listen to this horse dung at all of these conventions, and then the day-to-day political realities that presidents face. And this is just a lot of fairy tale telling, that's all. This is just a lot of spinning of fairy tales and the spinning of marvelous folk tales. When whoever becomes president, let's talk about Romney. If Romney becomes president, I guarantee you that Obama health care will survive in one form or another. It will not be dismantled. The country's had the conversation, not just Republicans. The entire country has had this conversation, and the entire country seems to want movement in that direction. So that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, what happened if they do?
Then I'll give each of you guys $100.
Yay!
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know if you got me on the radio right now.
I do, Don. I got you on the air.
All right. Yeah, you want to? I was going to tell you, Bill, about the young lady, Margaret.
The young lady that Margaret.
He's been drinking.
Hold on for a minute.
No.
Okay, Don, have you been drinking?
No.
Have you been drinking?
Yep. No.
Okay. I don't know. I can have you on the air, man.
Wait, hold on. I've been. Bill, I want to give you the name of the. Oh God.
The name of what?
You got the name of the lady that was on Piers Morgan. Love can set you free.
Yeah, on the Piers Morgan. Love is my middle name.
What?
Piers Morgan. Love is my middle name.
Piers Morgan. Love is my middle name. What?
That's the show that he's on. That's the show that he's on.
Piers Morgan is on his show called Piers Morgan.
Love. All right, yeah. Her name is Reston, R-E-S-T-O-N.
R-E-S-T-O-N is the woman that Margaret was saying...
No.
All right, hang up on him, will you?
Yeah, hang up on you, Don.
No.
What was he saying?
Dead that the lady's name is Reston, that Bobby Dooley said had a gap in her in the teeth.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. That's Bobby Dooley's big problem with that lady because she said that she's doing a tryout for the CNN news contributor. The whole thing was this. She came on the show earlier, and she was all put out with this one gal who is on the Piers Morgan show. What is this Piers Morgan love is all I have to give?
That's what he thinks the name of Piers Morgan show is.
That's what he thinks the name of Piers Morgan's show is.
Yeah.
Boy, is he drunk, man.
Yeah, I was trying to tell you.
Anyway, this girl is on the Piers Morgan show, a young woman, I should say, and she is a reporter for the L.A. Times. She's their political reporter, and she is very well. She's a pretty girl, and Bobby seemed to think that she's on here auditioning for a CNN contributor job, you know?
Yeah, well, that's all they all do.
Well, no. I mean, I don't deny that a lot of the people that come on this show that come on CNN or Fox who are writers, I have no doubt at all that what they're really hoping for is a shot as a contributor. There's no question. But I just don't know where she gets the idea that this girl necessarily is.
Well, look at her. She's all, yeah, you know, she's doing all this stuff.
Well, in any event, she was very explicit about this woman, like she had a personal problem with her, and said, if I'm not mistaken, she said that the woman had some dental problem or something wrong with her teeth that was going to make being a contributor, you know.
Yeah, well, I looked at her, her teeth, they're kind of wrecked.
Yeah, she's got a big gap in her teeth.
So she's got a big gap in her teeth. So what?
Big can't be on TV.
You know, I got to tell you something, man. When it comes to this political contributor thing, and I've seen a lot of guys on TV, you know, they ain't what I call bathing beauties, man. There's no models there, you know? I mean, there's some pretty, I'm going to be just very direct. There's some pretty ugly damn people that they have doing those jobs, you know?
Well, like who?
Well, I don't know, man. You know, a lot of them.
Yeah, but the women are good looking.
The women aren't, the women are good looking.
Yeah, except for that one lady whose eyeballs bug out, like we were saying, remember that?
Yeah, the one lady got her eyeball bugged out.
One lady's eyeball bugged out?
No, I mean, her eyes are buggy.
She got a bugged out eye.
Who the hell's that?
She's on the one with the guy in the wheelchair.
The guy in the wheelchair, Charles Krauthammer. Krauthammer?
I don't know.
Yeah, Charles Krauthammer. She is the lady from National Public Radio. Bugged out eyes. Cokie Roberts?
Is that her name?
What's her name?
Cokie Roberts.
No, I don't think so. This lady has got her eyes bug out.
Okay, well, whatever, man. I don't know. So what are you saying? She's the one unattractive woman?
No, she's pretty, but her eye bugged out.
But what is it with you with the singular? Is she got one eye that bugs out?
No, it's both her eyes.
Then say eyes. Don't say eye.
But it cuts down on the time you lose.
It cuts down on the time you lose? In other words, you... That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
What?
Are you crazy? Just use the proper word in speaking the English, huh? In sprekensy de English, you dig me, baby? Just use the right words. If she has two eyeballs that are bugging out, say eyeballs. Now, I don't know who the hell you're talking about. But I will give you this much. The whole looks thing when it comes to even television news, even news contribution, when we're talking about the cable channels, it does appear that the women require a certain presence, some beauty. I don't know what it is.
But except that one lady, remember that Edie, what's that one lady?
Yeah, that lady, her name, she's Edie Hill or something?
E.D. Hill. I don't know who the hell that is, man.
She looks like she hates men.
Well, you know what? If I had to rely on you two idiots to identify a murder suspect or somebody that really did something bad to somebody, I'd be up a creek without a paddle. You know?
What do you mean?
Oh, you two idiots are like the lady with the bugged out eyes, the one that looks like she hates men. You cats have no ability to describe anybody with any kind of clarity. Who are you talking about?
Okay, she's a lady on that one show, The Guy in a Wheelchair. Okay.
Is it the same one with the bugged out eyes?
No, this is different.
What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing.
I'm going to kill somebody here, man.
I know who she is. Remember they talked about, you were talking about that lady whose father used to be on a TV?
Yeah. Yes, I do. That girl? Yeah. You think she looks like she hates men?
Yeah.
No, she's just a very serious woman. What are you talking about now? She's really serious. She takes her political discussions seriously. I don't know. You know, and I can't even remember her name, but I know who you're talking about now. All right, we've got to take a break. Actually, we have to take a break for the next 24 hours. We'll see you guys coming up tonight at 10 o'clock at a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, Coming up on Tuesday, the best of Bobby Dooley will be rolled out in the shop, and we also are giving away one free year of a BSP, courtesy of the Phil Hendry Show, if you have entered. And if you enter, all you have to do is hashtag BSP at Phil Hendry Show, our Twitter account, Phil Hendry Show, or like our fan page, Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.